that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will cheek and don't give in, 'cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. And it has rolled around again, and it is time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you here this Saturday morning. Man, September 26th, the month is almost over again. But we do welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And we say good morning to you, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Because we gather in that name. And thankfully, he tells us that we're never alone. He tells us that when we gather in his name, when two or more, or at least two or more gathered in his name, then, hey, he's there also. Praise the Lord for that. So we welcome you there. And might have a guest this morning, got one set up, so we'll see if we can work that through. But you know, we'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. Good morning, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. The sun just coming up over the mountains to the east. Lord, we thank you for it, and we say, praise ye the Lord. Lord, we ask for you to do just that, to send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to come down and to join us here for this morning of fellowship, this morning of reading from your word, of Lord, talking about the things that are going on in the world, Lord, not just to put forth doom and gloom, Lord, but to be the watchman on the wall, to let the people know, hey, this is happening. You need to be aware. You need to see this. Wake up, wake up. Help us to awaken your people, Lord. Those that Lord, they say they're called by your name, Lord. Well, let's hope they truly are. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to awaken them, Father. We ask your blessings on this fellowship, your blessings on this broadcast, Lord. We thank you for the foundation that was laid here by our pastor, Lord. That foundation being built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. But, Lord, the foundation of this ministry, the broadcasts, and Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the teaching and the training that he did. And Lord, for your blessings on him for so many years, Lord, that called each and every one of us out of darkness, Lord, that those words that he spoke, Lord, those words of yours, they resonated with us. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen us and Lord, encourage us as well as we continue down that same path, Lord, to spread the gospel to your people, to awaken your people, Lord, to who they are and to what they should do. And that's our request, Lord. Again, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, this great weather in its season. We give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason, I'm getting almost a Morse code through this bridge line. I don't know if you're hearing it over there.
Yeah, I can't hear nothing.
So, anyway. Well, we'll open the phone lines up in a little bit. But, Jason, I know you had mentioned a little bit before the program about wanted to talk about some of the events going on over in Europe right now.
Yeah, it's... Well, basically, it's one of those things that we're seeing in a lot of different places, but basically we're having, they're having an invasion, and, man, I'll tell you what, it's gotten really bad. We've seen it in a lot of different places, but it seems like they're getting it, they're just getting flooded with these, they're calling them refugees, but basically it's what it is. It's a forced invasion upon a country. And it's gotten to the point where, they're putting news bulletins out for women to cover up and to, not be out alone because they've got so many of these refugees. I mean, it used to be a fairly safe place to be and to roam the streets. I know that's one thing that when I was over in Europe, I noticed about how much, there's people that walk around all hours of the night, and it was a very safe place, and the police officers didn't even carry guns over there. I mean, it was kind of a completely different mentality, but it just had a very different feeling to it, and it is changing so drastically fast over there that the news bulletins are women cover up, traveling groups, don't be alone. Don't be out after certain hours, which is kind of a culture shock to them over there. But they're getting right. It where, they're getting thousands and thousands of them, coming in, and they're ganging up, and these, refugees ganging up, and just it turned into, they're living like animals,
And aren't they telling the women not to do these things because the women are getting gang raped and beaten up and things like that?
Yeah, they're getting gang raped, they're getting murdered, they're getting killed, they're getting,
And we're supposed to embrace that. And we're supposed to embrace that. We're supposed to embrace that here and welcome it here now, right?
Yeah, that's what they want. The one thing that, Germany and a lot of these countries over there that were, a lot of them were still predominantly white countries, but they were they had areas of predominantly white people, and those are the areas that are being invaded. And these people have been disarmed for quite some time, they've taken their guns away from them. So, I don't know. It's one of those things that, it's sad to see. You hate to see it. But it's something that, you got to be prepared for.
We see one thing that comes to mind, Jason, is we've already seen this in France. For years they've been having riots. The signs have changed in France. Where you just they've cowed down to these and just they're Muslims. That's all there is to say. They're Muslims. They're not refugees. They're Muslim invaders. We probably should call them for what they are. And we've seen that in areas of France. We know that there's places that you just don't go. There's places that they call them enclaves, but they're places where the Muslim invaders have come in and have just taken over. Where they have absolutely taken over areas of the city. And you're right. White people don't go there. The police don't go there. The fire people don't go there. And we've seen that in France for years and years. And now we're seeing this in Germany. And you see that Merkel or whoever the leader of Germany is, you see her on there, and she just literally just has opened the border and welcomes them in, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is absolute, in my way of thinking, it's absolute insanity. But here we've been doing it in this country. The southern border is wide open. You know, we'll have a camp gathering, and the border patrol, when you know, a white Christian comes out of Canada to come into the United States just for a week trip to come down and, you know, maybe go to Branson and meet with some you know, fellow Christians and that type thing. They harass the stew out of him. He gets the third degree. Where are you going? Where are you staying? We need the name of where you're going. We're going to call and verify that. You know, this is a working man in Canada, and he gets harassed to come down here. Yet our borders are open for these Muslim invaders.
Muslims and Mexicans.
And Muslims and Mexicans, and we are sure seeing it big time in Germany and really in all of Europe. It's I don't think it's just Germany over there, is it?
No, I've heard that it's all over in Norway and Sweden and it's a lot of places that you're not even hearing about right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I saw one I think it was a.
I know, if you look at the, you know, you just look through the headlines. I mean, they're calling it. It was amazing how many when I typed it in, how many headlines that they came up with. It's, you know, Germany mayhem and, you know, women covering up, and I mean there was five or six. They're calling it the migrant mayhem. Gangs of men roaming streets, young women told to cover up, the list goes on and on and on. It was amazing how many, it's really, they're saying that the tune over there has changed fast. You know, at first everybody was for it and excited, and, oh, well, not everybody, but there was a lot of people that, had this attitude as, you know, they're doing a humanitarian deed and everything, and they just
right.
never expected it. You know, and the thing is they didn't realize that people could be like that. You know, I mean, it's because you're talking about an invasion, and you're talking
right.
about an invasion of, you know, something that is, a wicked, maybe, I don't know if you should say a wicked seed, but they're terrorists. They're basically, they're terrorists, and they're terrorizing people, and they've come in there, and that's what they're doing, and you know, some people you can't tell them how bad somebody is or how wicked somebody is or how evil they are. They've got to experience it for themselves.
Right. You know, even the Wall Street Journal puts it out. They're putting articles out about how they're seeing that it's a faith battle. It is a conflict between what has, you know, what has been Christian nations and what are now becoming non-Christian nations, and then shifting to Muslim nations. We're seeing that. And even the Wall Street Journal's addressing it. And the people here just seem to be totally oblivious to it. Seems to be, anyway. But you're right.
Yeah,
until
well,
the
you
people
know, you,
come
and
in.
You look at, you know, it, what, you can just tell that it's a war because, you know, right now, the Pope is traveling to the U.S. the first time to make a special appeal to Americans to welcome immigrants.
Yes.
And, but at the same time, the Vatican, or Vatican City, basically the Pope, who is basically, I guess what you could put is more than the church, he's the state, head of the state of the Vatican, is they have the strictest immigration policies in the world.
Yep. Yep. Second only by the land of the Israeli. Because they understand, as they're putting all this on us, as they are demanding it of Europe, and Europe has already acquiesced to it. They've already given in, you might say, whether it's because their leaders are on the other side or whatever it may be. They've already fallen, so to speak. But we're seeing, and we're seeing that we are living in the time of the fall of Europe. World War II was practice. As far as the destruction of Europe, with what we're seeing now, it sure is. Well, Jason, the phone's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, guess not. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Some of the videos that I've seen, we had a brother sent a couple links in, and they weren't in English, but they didn't have to be in English. They showed one of the immigration trains had stopped, and the police and the Red Cross there in whatever town it was in city in Europe were bringing food and water and trying to pass it out to these Muslim invaders is what they were. But they were trying to be kind and smiling and passing it out. And you could hear the Muslim invaders chanting, no, 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 no. They would take bottles of water and throw them out on the train tracks. They would take the food and throw it away. The people would be, of course, the people handing it out were under armed guard, armed escorts. But yet...
You know, they should have just turned them back around, put them back on that train, and sent them back.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so, but all you ever see is immigration. Oh, it's been, Europe's history has been shaped by immigration. You know, yeah, it has. But what you're having now, before you had people that... I was talking with a man this past week. You know, immigration, yeah, when people came from England and from Scotland and Ireland and Germany and the Netherlands and Norway and Sweden and Poland, and they came over to this country, starting in the Pilgrims in, 1619, 1621, right in there, through the 18 or even the early 1900s. And the people that immigrated to America came to be Americans. They came here, they might have still spoken Dutch at home, but they taught their children English, they made sure that they worked, they became contributing members of society. And when they did that, that is immigration. They came to embrace the ideals here in America, which was a Christian nation. And hey, good morning, Mr. Paul.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're talking here about the difference in immigration and invasion here, based on kind of what we're seeing over in Europe. And we've got Paul on the line, and then the other phone line's ringing, so let's take that other caller as well. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Jason. It's Tom in Texas.
Hey, Tom. Getting a little over-modulation there. Don't know if you got a real powerful phone or what, but good morning, Tom.
Good to be able to hear you. A lot of my work hours don't work too well, but I'll tell you, I've watched a little bit of the Jack Dempsey. You're familiar with him?
Tom, you're really. Oh, hey, Tom. Tom, you're really overmodulating. I can't quite make out what you're saying there.
I'll tell you back on the line.
Okay, yeah, do that. Call me back. All right. Tom in Texas there, and well, Mr. Paul, how are things in the heartland?
They seem to be fine if you don't watch the news.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
No, things are on course. No, you got to have faith at this time, because if you didn't have that, we it'd look pretty hopeless. So.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's see if this
That's
is Tom.
That's one thing that I've appreciated about Paul is he always tries to leave people with hope, and I don't know, I've thought about that an awful lot. You know, there's some things, because there's times when I've talked to Paul and it's been, things are looking kind of gloomy, and he's like, well, we always got our hope.
Amen.
And, you know, you got to have that. And, you know, I think when I think about that, it just puts a smile on my face. You know, I mean, you know, when I read the stories of the Israelites of old, and, you know, I think about what we're facing, I think about what they face, you know, that's when I believe God works, is when, you know, is when our hands are tied and there's nothing that we can do, in that, you know, it's not going to be by our strength or by our might, but it's going to be by the Spirit of our Heavenly Father. And I think that we're getting closer and closer to that time, which, you know, I still believe that He's going to deliver us. And, you know, as long as we do our part, I just want to be in part of that number that, you know, He delivers. And, you know, but you really think about what, you know, what our forefathers, what they faced, and we really ain't, we've still got a long ways to go.
Yeah,
well, you
absolutely.
Know, too, we've had all those stories, you know, of the children of Israel walking around in the desert for 40 years because of unbelief, too. And you know, you think we have that for an example. You know, they lived it firsthand. So
yeah.
that's why we have to stand on that. You know, God is going to deliver it. But there's a major power play going on by the enemy at the moment. You know, I don't know what's going on with the Pope and everything, but there's some stuff going on. So, but that's why God says I'm having the blast. Why do they imagine the main thing? And that's what you have to stand on, the Scripture. So,
amen. Well, guys, let's take this caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's a lot better, Tom. Good morning.
Okay. Good to hear you all live. My work hours don't allow me to follow much for live live shows and services and everything. But last night I turned in for just as much as I could stand. It wasn't very long. You're familiar with Jack Van Impe?
Yes.
They were talking about the whole refugee thing and saying, no, that we should welcome them, and that they're, you know, talking, just really falling in line with the whole mainstream news media, of course, which, you know, whom he says are God's chosen people, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're converts. You know, it was ridiculous. I mean, there's no other way to look at all of this. It's nothing more than nothing short of an invasion. I mean, you look at where, you know, who's Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, I believe those two cross-reference, you know, and who's leading the charge, named in Psalm 83, Edom, Esau, Edom, and if it wasn't for Esau, Edom, we wouldn't have the Muslim hordes that are all named in Ezekiel 38 and also in Psalm 83 following.
Yes.
You know, and they know when social collapse happens over here, those people have lived in those conditions, you know, most of their lives. And what's going to happen what are those people going to do? And we already know what the answer to that question is going to be.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And you know, we're starting to see it, a few people waking up here, but the people in Europe are starting, it seems like, to wake up to this. The working class that have been taxed. You know, their tax rates, I think, are about double what ours are here because of all the socialized medicine and the socialism that they live under. And, you know, you see a few reports here and there that the working class in the European nations, in France and Germany and England and stuff, are starting to wake up. But, Jason, I think you mentioned it earlier. The people are, for the most part, unarmed. And so... you know, when it really hits the fan, they are going to be wiped out. It might be what they call an unarmed invasion now, but it won't always be that way. And
no,
it's
I'm
just practice
sure that those
for here.
Invaders will be well supplied if they. I'm sure they have their stuff put up one place or another.
Yeah.
You know, the Edomites are just as happy. Islam and Judaism are two sides of the same coin. I like that article on SFAWBN website about, you know, the penalties for passing out a New Testament or Christian literature in the Zionist regime state, and what the penalties are for Jews converting.
Yep.
You know, three years. That sounds exactly like Islam. Two sides of the same gypsy penny.
Exactly.
No doubt. And we have to remember, too, in talking about this invasion, you know, that, oh, hundreds of thousands of, whether they call them boat people or train people, you know, these Muslim invaders are coming, and 90% of them are Muslim. Remember back, it was in April that they found some Christians on board one of these invasion boats that the left calls immigration boats, and they found 12 Christians and threw them overboard. And our people don't remember that. They don't see that this is a war. It is a war between the forces of evil and the forces of good. It's a war between Jesus Christ and those that follow him and those that don't and those that deny him. And the Muslims are one of those that deny him. Those that call themselves Jews today deny that Jesus is the Christ. And I think we really, that's really where we have to look to see who's behind all this. You know, Jason, maybe it was you that mentioned earlier, the Pope, the Catholic Church, they are promoting this. First time ever, Pope visiting the U.S. and speaking to Congress and driving through Madison Square Gardens. And, oh, it's just lovely. Isn't it just great how, you know, America's embracing the Pope now? And he's saying, hey, welcome these invaders in. You have to do that.
Well, most people don't understand where Japheth's descendants ended up, out of Genesis 10:2, and all of those names of his descendants in Genesis 10:2, they cross-reference to the territory named in Ezekiel 38. Not that the Khazars are Japheth's descendants, they're a mongrelization of Asiatics mixed with right. The people that lived, that they conquered, lived in that area. That yeah. lived in that area, and now they are the, well, who are the Gog and Magog? Esau, Edom, and the Muslim hordes. That's kind of my conclusion on the matter. I mean, that's, Bible always a light to, light of what's happening in the world.
Yep.
Cornerstone of our understanding.
Amen. Well, Tom, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Have a great
Thank
weekend.
Thank you all. God bless.
All right, you too. Well, that's kind of the topic of the morning, I guess. Paul, what are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, you got to look at the big picture, too. God said this would happen. You know, if you reject me, the stranger will rule over you. And this is what's happened. God's keeping his word. Now, I think there's going to be, it's waking up the working class, the common man. The people in the upper class or management class of Congress or whatever it is, they have a lot of benefits from this, and it's hard for them to see. But we're losing our ability to even function in this system. The money just don't go anywhere. They just don't buy nothing. It's just our money has turned to dross, and we're starting to see how we're oppressed. I mean, and I like you said earlier, I think the common man is starting to see how oppressed he is.
Yeah. Awake, awake. And I think you're right. Some are starting to wake up.
Yeah, when the Pope comes out and says that, you know, when he's speaking to the UN, he says that he calls for an end to selfish and boundless thirst for power, material prosperity that was fulfilling poverty, inequality, and destruction of the environment, laying part of the blame on the international financial agencies. You know, to me, when he comes out into the statements that he makes, that tells me exactly what they're doing. I mean, it tells me that they are on a selfish and boundless thirst for power and material prosperity.
Yep.
And, you know, you can see that with, you know, these moves that are being made. And there's some very powerful things taking place right now in the world that... And it's exciting times. It's times to be praying. Make sure your life's right with the Lord and trust in Him.
Amen.
Yeah, because for another thing they're trying to do, they're trying to hold this new world order together. And, you know, they have to hold it together now or they're going to lose it. So you got to realize it's a struggle for their survival also. They're trying to keep it going because people are waking up. So now they're... calling on the emotional, religious side of people, you know, to just keep taking it. And I don't know.
They keep taking and keep taking and keep taking. And I believe that they're like a parasite. They've got to keep taking to survive. They can't be satisfied with what they got. They can't be happy with what they have or what they've already stolen. That they've got to continually take more and more and more. And you know, that's just the way that they're wired. It's in their DNA, and they're not going to stop. You know, and I think about it in light of, you know, parasites in an animal or somebody being overcome with parasites. You know, those parasites don't stop when they've gotten partway through the body. They will continue on and continue on until they've actually killed the host. And you know, when they kill the host, they die anyway. But it you know, you can't tell them that. They continue to consume until it's to their own death and destruction. But you know, with these terrors that we're talking about and we're dealing with, there's no they're not going to stop on their own. They've got to be stopped, and it's going to have to be the hand of God to stop them.
That's right. See, it's called drunk on the blood of the saint. They can't stop.
Yep.
You know, just like an alcoholic, just like a parasite, they just can't stop.
Yep.
So they just keep marching on. But we read the end of the book, and we win, so.
Amen. Amen. Folks, we hope you're reading your Bible. We're going to continue to encourage you to do that. The Bible reading plan, the monthly Bible reading plan, can be found at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. Right there on the home page, on the left-hand side, you can click the Bible reading plan, and it'll give you the monthly calendar. And Jason, I'll have to have you another monthly calendar here first of the week to post up there, because September's almost over. But we do encourage you. We're almost out of the Old Testament. Almost out of it. So the groundwork has been laid. Fixing to jump into a few hundred year time difference here between the ending of the Old Testament, the captivities, the dispersions. We're reading about them now taking place. And it does read like where we're at today. Boy, especially Joel talking about the gnawing locust and the swarming locust, and what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust is eaten, and it just is on and on. And then it says, like it does in Isaiah, awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail. Awake. And that's what it is. Our people today are asleep to the fact that these locusts, you know, it's like the black locust has left, the Mexican locust has eaten. And what the Mexican locust has eaten, the Muslim locust is coming in and eating. And what he leaves, something else will come in and eat it up. But the people are asleep to it. Oh Lord, that they would wake up to this and see that it was mentioned earlier, the examples that we have. You know, it's one thing to have it as an example. Paul, maybe you mentioned that, to have it as an example, you know, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But, you know, when you're going through it, it's a little different. Well, we're going through this locust invasion. We're seeing our brethren where we came from in the European nations, that they are neck deep in it, and just a generation away from being completely wiped out, because... You know, most of them aren't having children, but the Muslims that are coming in, they sure are. And they're doing their best to interbreed with the Europeans that are there. Just like we see going on here in this nation. And it being promoted wholeheartedly.
Yeah, it's a time to repent. You know, change your mind, you know, and humble yourself and pray. Just, you know, and like that, I've been in the Patriot movement before and stuff like that, and they want to pick up arms, and that ain't going to work. They got way more arms than we do. But greater is he that's for us than he that's against us, so that's what we have to stand on.
Amen. And that's that hope. That is truly that hope that we have.
Face what you can't see. You know, I've had a thought process one time. You know, we talk about the Old Testament. I think we should call that the Original Testament rather than the Old Testament.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It that is so true. You know, the people talk about, they talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And absolutely, He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our everything. Was in the beginning and still is and will continue to be. You know, but there's you hate to say there's more to the story, but you know there's but there is there's more to it than you know just claiming Jesus. I sure don't mean to be sacrilegious, but guys, correct me if I'm off base, but it. You know, there's so much of that Original Testament, Paul, as you said, you know, introduces us to Christ, introduces us to why He had to come in the flesh the way He did. You know, we see Him walking in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, we see Him throughout the Old Testament. You know, they called God Lord all through the Old Testament, and that's what they called Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Same thing. That Original Testament is so rich. It's so what's the saying that the people that don't know their history are doomed to repeat it?
Right. But if you know history, you know the future too.
Yeah.
You know, you can never understand prophecy until you know who the players are. I mean, this is what gets confusing. I try to explain to people, they just don't have a clue as to where it's coming from or what I'm talking about. It's just like Greek school.
Yeah. Well, they're asleep. Asleep to it.
Well, they're numbed in the brain. Let me tell you that. That's put it mildly, because they just flat don't get it. And until you know who the players are, this is why Scriptures for America is just about better than all other ministries, because we know who we are. And we're not the smartest people in the world, but once you know who you are, you're a different person. You have an inheritance that's eternal, you know, and God's for you.
Yep.
And it changes everything. I mean, when you look at, you know, I talked to a guy yesterday, when you look at the news and what's going on, they just get nothing but hopelessness out of it, you know. They see they're going down a dead-end road, they ain't got a clue how it's going to end.
Right.
So, and that's where old Tom was talking about Ezekiel, that Valley of Dry Bones. That's a pretty exciting story. I think we're right in the middle of it myself. It's set up for it. You know, I see Russia going down to Syria, Operation Salvation, you know, and they're going with God's blessing, they say. And I think they are. So, I think God, I know God's behind it. This whole thing is getting orchestrated. It's really exciting times, actually.
It is. It is. Well, folks, phone lines are open. Have a little time here this morning. If you have a comment or a question, 307-745-5913. We're working on volume, I guess it'd be what, volume 7 of the newsletter. And hope to have it kind of tweaked out this next week, and we'll get that started to print and out to you. Have a little warnings of Halloween that we're putting in there. That'll get to you there here, because that is coming up just a short month away. And just one of the articles that we're wanting to share with you to get out there. So keep our endeavors on this newsletter in your prayers, we ask. And if you don't get the Dragon Slayer newsletter, well, in the words of our late pastor, you should get it. We don't charge for it. Be glad to send it to you free of charge. It's not that it's free for us to put the articles together and put them in there and get them printed and pay that elephant choking postage bill every month when we send it out, but we don't have a subscription cost for it. But we would be glad to send it to you. And if you'd like to get that, you can write to us and request the Dragon Slayer. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. and drop us a line and say, hey, send me a sample newsletter, and we'll be glad to do that. Our complete shortwave broadcasting schedule is in there, the frequencies and the times, and we think it'll be a blessing to you if you get that, if you're seeking truth, that's for sure.
Well, switching gears, I was reading some articles this week and got kind of on it because I was working on a truck for a guy, and the problem was, went through, you know, how they have so complicated things anymore is just sometimes beyond me. But it was a software issue, needed to run updates on the vehicle, and you know, went through it, and by the time it was said and done, it was you know, it wasn't hard work, but it was complicated work, and it was something that, you know, you never have the right things, never have the right tools handy to do something like that. And you know, just how they've gotten, how they've changed everything and made so much of this new equipment not even serviceable. I was down at a neighboring farm this last week and looking at their tractor, and their tractor was, you know, basically it had one of these regen codes popped up in it, and they had to send somebody down from Denver to, you know, plug their computer into it, reset these codes, make everything work again. And you know, I'm seeing that with so many of these newer vehicles is what you're running into is computer problems or virus problems or update problems, or, you know, it's problems with a computer or a module or something like that, and there's actually not even anything really broken with it, but it's something that, you know, just needs to, it's basically like having a virus on your computer, or getting a virus on your smartphone or something like that. But I see that as a real problem in the future. It's interesting because you know, they've been over, there's a, oh, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically the National Safety Institute for Vehicles, and they've, you know, they have proven that they can take a CD player in a newer vehicle, that they can put a virus on an MP3, hide it in the background of an MP3, put it on a CD, and somebody sticks it in the their CD deck of their vehicle, and they can disable the brakes. And, you know, they prove that you can do it, but then they turn around and say, well, nobody will ever be able to figure out how to do it. and it's one of those things that it's like, the technology is such a double-edged sword on so many areas. I don't know, it's one of those things that can be really frustrating, but it's... I don't know what to say about it, but it's you know, it's something that just could be. As you look at it, when we look at the way with they're taking the smart grid, smart appliances, you know, your smart meters, and now these vehicles are being you know, considered smart cars and smart vehicles, even on the bigger vehicles. You know, it used to be the smart cars were the small ones. Now they're calling these bigger vehicles smart ones. But if you look at the number of lines of code that are put into each one of those PCMs or body control modules, and it's just absolutely insane. And, you know, that's another thing, that everything that they put into these vehicles has a back door, it has a fail safe, it has a kill switch on it. And I don't know. I just think that you know, that's something to be aware of it also, because it's been absolutely amazing to me of what they have done in some of these newer vehicles with these computers.
Yeah, it seems to be never ending, and you're right. It's in the tractors now. You'll see the advertisements in the farming and ranching magazines. You know. The big John Deere's, and they got a TV in it, and it says, you know, catch the game and plow 100 acres all in one afternoon, and the people just love it. Oh yeah, let's go pay $397,000 for this big tractor. We need it. We have to have it to be able to compete. You know, we have to have it to get this corn in the ground or whatever it is. And it's I think it's part of that spell that the people are under. You know, those that are bent on destroying us, they come up with these things for control, control, control. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, what I don't like is all the, you know, the proprietary software, where it used to be, you know, you bought a tractor, you know, your alternator goes out, you could go down and buy one. If you needed hydraulic fluid, you could go down to your local, you know, farm station, you could buy it. Now everything, they've changed everything, and everything is just such a money-making deal where, you know, it's proprietary this, proprietary that, and you can't, you can't even service anything. I mean, you know, new Toyotas, you plug a OBD2 scanner into it and scan it, it voids the warranty. If it's under warranty.
Wow.
You know, you can't even scan something. You can't even, you know, look at anything. And if you do anything, if you change the oil on something without taking it to the dealership, your warranty's gone. I mean, and it's just, you know, talk about greed. It's just, you know, it's just gotten to be, so much of that stuff has just gotten to be out of control.
Yeah, it has. You know, I've read some old, Ralph Moody books, and it's not the Ralph Moody of Moody Bible Institute, but just some old Ralph Moody books. They were from they're factual books. He grew up from Boston, and then they moved to the Denver area, like in the early 1900s, 1905, 1907, pre-World War I. And they wrote in the books. He grew up out here, and some of the books, I'd encourage him if you have time to read them. Father and I Were Ranchers is one of them. Another one is called Little Britches. It's the Little Britches series. We don't carry them, but you can find them out there in some of the older bookstores. And just interesting historical reads. Christian family growing up, you know, 100 years ago here in kind of out in this western area. And I mention that because in one of the later books, him and a friend of his are driving basically cross country in an old Model T, and the transmission starts to go out, and they're out in the middle of, you know, outside of some little, you know, really no light town, but they just kind of camp, and they figure out the bands they need for the transmission, and they go into town and they order them, and you know, it takes a week to get them in, and they fix the transmission with a screwdriver and a couple of pliers that came with the Model T, and then they're on their way. And that's where we've changed in 100 years. We've gone from being able to work on stuff. You know, we run some old tractors out here at the ranch, and I mean older than me. Okay. They certainly aren't as efficient as the neighboring ranch that has the big, you know, John Deere 6770s. That, you know, when they cut and rake, they're doing it at 30 miles an hour out there with air conditioning and everything else. You know, we don't do that here. But we get by. But that's where we've come in 100 years is, you know, from being able, like you said, Jason, I'm glad you brought that up, from being able to fix things and having the desire to fix them, but also being able to have the tools and taking satisfaction in that and fixing it. To where now, yeah, it's almost like it's all computer, and I know the, you know, the tech school here in town, they 2/3 of their classes are computer diagnostics for the mechanics and that type of thing, and it's just ridiculous. Well, guys, we have a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, fellas. This is Willis over in Illinois.
Hey, Willis. Hey, I got a fresh pot on. Let me pour you a cup here. Thanks for calling.
Hey, let me check the volume on my phone. Hold on a second.
I think it's pretty good.
Hopefully that's better.
Yeah.
Hey, enjoying the show this morning. You know, listening to you guys talking about the modern technology and all the confusion in there. Just word that came to mind was Babylon. Confusion. They take the most simplest of things, like a gasoline engine, and turn it into something completely confusing where you don't know where to start with it. You know, in the old days, you could take a small block Chevy motor that was 20 years old and put parts on it from one that was 1 year old.
Right.
And everything would work. But nowadays, you open up the hood and you can't even see the motor.
That's right. Hey, Willis, how about a gas can? Have you tried to go down and just buy a 5 gallon gas can lately? You know, just a can with a lid. And even the lids have these safety features that, oh, the vent and the anti-spill, and they're ridiculous. And they're dangerous. They're dangerous.
Where it takes you 10 minutes to empty one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. We had a lady, I won't say a neighbor, but a few miles away, we had a medical call one time. She had one of those cans out just a couple years ago, and it got hot. And she went over to try to pour the gas out, and you got to pull that big, you know, release spout back. And when she did, it sprayed gas right in her face. And now granted, you shouldn't have your face over the pouring nozzle, but...
But what's wrong with having a vent hole in one of those things like they used to?
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous, but you're
luckily,
right.
Luckily, I've still got a couple of old 5 gallon cans, and all I got to do is pop that little vent cap and empty that sucker in about 90 seconds.
That's right.
But you know, they did the same thing with the Bible, with the Word of God. They've taken the simplest of things, like baptism for the remission of sin, and turned it into something completely confusing, which makes no sense at all.
Yes.
And it kind of reminds me, or takes me back to Isaiah 24, verse 5, where it says, "The earth is also defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant." And as long as our people keep doing that, we're going to have those curses of Deuteronomy 28. And I think this confusion in the land, till the people make a complete and total turnaround, is just going to keep going. You know, if we look at Common Core, you know, they take the simplest of things and make it complex.
Yes.
And I just see that everywhere. And I just thought I'd make that quick comment. And you guys have a blessed weekend.
Hey, you too. God bless, brother. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Goodbye.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And he's right. It's that repentance. It's that repentance. You know, in Joel 2:12, he says, our Lord says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me. Return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning." And you know, that means more than just raising your hand in church on Sunday morning. Okay? There's more to it than that. There's more to it than just saying, "I believe." Because the Bible, the Word of God that Willis brought up to us, that the people have gotten away from out there, the demons believe and shudder, which is more than what most so-called Judeo-Christians do today. They say they believe, but they lie, because they don't live their life according to that belief. But he tells us it's repentance that's needed. Return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God. And that's the same message that goes out today, that went out in the time of Joel, that went out throughout the Old Testament. It's return to me, says our loving Heavenly Father. And it's basically return to me before I destroy you. It's still repent or be destroyed. Repent or perish. Same message.
Exactly. Yep.
Well,
yeah, it's exciting times. We're about out of time.
Yeah, we are. We are. Paul, I'm sure glad you mentioned that hope today, because
Paul had a little bit of something come up and he had to take care of it, so we had to step out.
All right. So, but we do, because we don't want to be caught up in all that just doom and gloom, because there's so much of that out there. Watching the news, I know I just have to not even turn it on my computer, because it is just depressing. It saps your energy. It's one thing to sigh and groan and cry out to God about the abominations in the land, but boy, something about the seeing the news that is just above and beyond that. We definitely want to leave you, remnant, with the good news, the gospel, that hey, have hope, because when we do, as we read there in Joel, when we return to Him, well, when we draw near to Him, He draws nearer to us. It really is as simple as that. It's not for righteousness' sake, but it's for pleasing our Heavenly Father. It's for being protected and saved in these days that we're in. It's for those, I think Acts talks about, return to me, says God, for the time, so the times of refreshing can come upon you. And who doesn't need times of refreshing to come upon them today? And we see that, I think our people do, desperately. They desperately need that.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, you've got the welcome for church tomorrow, I believe.
Yes, I do.
We didn't get to talk. Didn't know if you were going to do communion as well. I've got a communion message, so either way. But so, Remnant, we invite you to church tomorrow. Things will be a little different. John's doing some traveling, and so we invite you to church tomorrow, and 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And after our scriptural insight and study, Jason, you'll get to see him. He'll have the welcome and have some scripture verses to share with you, I'm sure. And so we invite you to come to church with us for that, and for some Holy Spirit-inspired music and a communion service where we will remember and where we talk about the things that our Lord and Savior did for us, going to that cross and making that ultimate sacrifice, redeeming His people, those that had been sold for nothing, and that we were told would be redeemed without money, and certainly they were. We were redeemed, not with money, but with the blood of the Lamb. And so we encourage you to join us for that and not forsake the assembly. And then we'll have certainly a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. So we encourage you to do that. We thank you for joining us. Again, our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Stay
high. Moving, 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 though they're disappearing.
proven. Keep on moving over snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.